And on Friday, chance of showers and storms, high 89. 87 outside. Every single day that it's not snowing, it's a good day for a bike ride. And that's our conversation today with Ward 4 Alderman Amelia Burgess, who is kind enough to call me out when I was on the radio yesterday. And I say that honestly, saying that I'm uninformed when it comes to the possibility of bike lanes on Washington. And I was very excited that you contacted me yesterday and said, hey, why don't we have a chat? Because I really am uninformed. So I appreciate you coming in here on WJBC so we can talk about it, because this is a program you are very much for. And you live in that area and you think it could work, yes?
Yes, and I really thank you for having me on today, because yesterday's conversation you had demonstrated a lot of the questions I hear frequently from residents and a lot of the concerns which are safety-based or community-based. And if there's an opportunity to explain some of the background of this particular proposal, some of the thought process that went into it, and some of the data that supports it, you know, I welcome that opportunity so we can at least all understand and be on the same page. It doesn't mean we're going to agree. And that's okay.
But we can have that civil conversation because we're grown-up women.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, I will say, first and foremost, I am not anti-bike lane. I think it would be wonderful to have a more bike-friendly community. I enjoy riding my bicycle. I just don't find that from where I live and where I work, it works for me. But I have met and I'm friends with people who bicycle a lot. And every time they tell me where they're biking from, I'm like, gosh, aren't you nervous? Because I remember being nervous on these same roadways as a motorcyclist. And even then, I had a bigger presence on the road. My bike made noise. And my concern is not that we don't need bike lanes. I think we do. My specific concern, as to a lot of residents, is that Washington Street, we don't understand how it's going to work. So let's find out how it's going to work. Hand to God, I went at 9 o'clock this morning because I knew you were coming in, and I drove all the way down Washington and back, starting at Morris, which I know is not the proposed bike lane beginning. That is Lee over to St. Joseph. So you could turn left and go into OSF. You could turn right on your bike and go into State Farm. I drove back and forth the whole way, hoping that I was going to see some leftover paint from the pop-up bike lanes. Unfortunately, a lot of that temporary volunteer work has been washed away. So I'm going to start with some basic questions. Amelia, if you can help me here. When it comes to the bike lanes, are they proposed to be on both the north and the south sides of Washington? So there would be two bike lanes total.
It depends on the portion of the street. So we're talking about a very long stretch of roadway that's relatively diverse in its width and its current configuration. Mm-hmm. So if we're talking about the portion where the pop-up lanes were, and one of the misconceptions, and I completely understand, is that the pop-up lanes were the only place the lanes are going to go, and that is not accurate. This plan is a much broader plan to really reconfigure the entire East Washington corridor from just west of downtown all the way to near OSF and State Farm Corporate. So it's a really large project. It goes through five wards. I'm not the only alderman that's worked on this. Four other aldermen have been very closely involved in working on this proposal to make sure that the pieces of East Washington that go through each ward meet the needs of that area.
Well, I'm already happy because that entire stretch of road is confounding in how many times it goes from two lanes or four lanes total, but two lanes one direction into, surprise, you've got a turn lane, or wait, I need to schmush when I'm going into Mercer, and it is a very awkward area. And there's already a proposal of future resurfacing between the section of East Washington from St. Joseph's to Regency. Am I getting that right?
From Regency to Mercer.
From Regency to Mercer. My apologies.
Yes, that portion will be resurfaced this year. So okay. That's why we're talking about this now, because when we're doing those resurfacing activities, if we're making changes to lane configuration, that's the time to do it. Because while we could remove paint from the street, there's a cost associated with that.
Right.
So if we can do it at the same time we resurface, we save money.
Well, yay for more street improvements. In general, we're all applauding. Now, if you were going to put the bike lanes on both the north and the south sides in some areas, that seems to me like where we have four lanes would turn into two. Is that the case in some areas?
In some areas, that is the case. So looking at the portion we just talked about that will be resurfaced, we are looking at what is referred to under national standards as a road diet. So a road diet is when you take a four-lane road and you put it down to three. And under national standards, and we're looking here at the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration recommendations, looking at road diets and their efficiency and possibility for reduction in collisions. So roads that undergo a road diet can see up to, according to the data and statistics, a 20% reduction in collisions between vehicles.
So this might actually improve the dangerous situation by taking down the lanes, whether there were bike lanes or not.
But exactly.
It gives us the opportunity. Has it ever been considered, because at least portions of Washington Street are accompanied by some of the most beautiful architecture in Bloomington. It's one of my favorite streets to drive up and down and just see what the fancy houses are doing. And there's beautiful sidewalks that I don't see enough people using. Has it ever been brought up in proposal, even though I know sidewalks are not supposed to be major bike transportation, making it more of a trail situation and unfortunately encroaching in some of those homeowners' areas and putting the bike lanes off the street?
Well, there's a couple of things to talk about there. Number one, let's talk about the hierarchy of safety mm-hmm. when it comes to cyclists. And it's not just the cyclist safety. It's the safety also of drivers who may have interactions with cyclists as well as pedestrians. So the hierarchy of safety is the least safe place for a bicycle to be is on the sidewalk.
Okay.
Unless you're a child. And then please, please stay on the sidewalk.
And you're allowed to do that legally.
Yes. Yes, you are. And if you are a cyclist and you are uncomfortable on the road because you're less experienced or for whatever reason, get on the sidewalk. But when you're on the sidewalk, you need to act more like a pedestrian. You need to bike at a slower speed. You need to stop at every crossing to make sure that there is no traffic that could cause a collision. Mm-hmm. And you need to be different. But so the hierarchy of safety is bikes are the least safe for them. Place for them is on a sidewalk.
Thank you.
Then the next place on the hierarchy is the road. So a bike on a road with no bike lanes. That is the next. The next tier then is a roadway with a dedicated bike lane.
Which will be like a trail at Constitution Trail.
Well, when I'm saying dedicated bike lane, I mean they're separate lines. So
okay.
Like this proposal here, so there would be a line.
Mm-hmm.
The most safe place for a bicycle and for all traffic is to have separated bike lanes. That is also the most expensive. So here, when we're looking at policy, we are balancing increasing public safety, decreasing congestion and difficulties in traffic flow with what we can afford to do.
And these roads that we're proposing, tell me if my terminology is correct, are called sharrows, where it's a combination of shared street and bike lane?
There are a couple of areas where the road narrows, especially around the intersection of Towanda mm-hmm. in East Washington, where there would be sharrows.
But right we're in front using, of the school.
Yes, we're using those as sparingly as possible in this plan because, again, the sharrow is still a shared roadway.
Mm-hmm.
They're still placing bikes and cars in the same lane. Now, sharrows are very effective because it is a visual reminder to vehicle drivers that there are bikes on the road. And whether or not, and I'd like to make it clear, whether or not we move forward with this plan, there are cyclists using this road.
Mm-hmm.
And they have every right to be safe as everyone else who uses this road. So whether or not we move forward on this plan, there are still cyclists using this road. And
all cyclists have to obey the rules of the road. All cyclists are supposed to be stopping at all stop signs, all stop lights. Having a bike lane does not prohibit you from being able to follow the rest of the rules that us in vehicles are doing.
Of course, of course. And just like we sometimes see drivers who don't follow the rules, there are sometimes cyclists don't follow the rules.
This is true.
And that is an issue, but it is a separate issue.
Mm-hmm.
And one that we can address separately. That does not address the question of can we make it safer for everyone? And if we can, why wouldn't we?
Okay.
Especially if it's affordable. And you asked a really great question about the nature of the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an area where I'm really passionate about because the very first letter I got when I was in council was from a junior high child, I think it was a boy, junior high boy at Bloomington Junior High School. And he wrote me a letter and he said, I live in this area and I am worried about my little brother's safety when he walks to school. Because the cars go so fast,
mm-hmm.
and there is no safe way for him to cross the street. Because the portion of the roadway from Mercer to Towanda, there are no crossings.
I have the same issue with having no crossings that are really safe across Veterans Parkway for miles of stretch.
Yes.
And so it's a very important point. How did you respond?
Well, and that's why I've been so interested in this project, because it is not just about bike lanes. We are focused right now on bike lanes because to move forward on this proposal, we have to make an amendment to the bike master plan. So this is really just a matter of process why we're focused on bike lanes. But that is not the only aspect to it. We'll also be talking about, so the road diet,
mm-hmm.
that is helping to facilitate bike lanes, but it also can help to improve traffic flow and reduce some of those collisions and those negative interactions you have where a car, for example, in a four-lane road suddenly stops to turn left.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a dedicated turn lane. So we're separating turning traffic from traveling traffic, and that's a good thing. The other thing we're doing is on many portions of Washington, cars do not drive the speed limit. We can see vehicles hit 40, 45 miles an hour, which is incredibly dangerous.
I was trying to go 30 up mm-hmm. and down Washington, and I had some very angry drivers behind me.
Exactly, exactly. And this is just a matter of just human nature and perception, all right? So, and it's also, I think, a good example because this was a learning process for me. 3 years ago, I would have told you a wider road is a safer road.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense to me. The wider it is, the more room everyone has. But the data shows that is not true. That a wider road is a road that traffic moves faster on. Because cars, some people, like you, will follow the speed limit. And I applaud you for that, and I hope people listening will consider doing that as well.
It's our responsibility to go as slow as the law provides.
Yes, especially in a city where we have children and residential areas.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important. But we also, all of us, and I'll include myself, maybe not you, but sometimes we get distracted when we're driving, and then we will travel at the speed that we feel comfortable driving. So a wider road, we feel more comfortable going quickly. You may not even know you're going 40 miles an hour. It won't feel like that to you. And the problem with some stretches in Washington, especially the stretch between Mercer and Towanda, is that it is 18 feet wide on each side. That is 6 feet wider than an interstate lane. So the number one way we can slow down traffic and make it safer for everyone is to narrow down those lanes. And we heard many, many individuals who either use the road or who live on the road that during that pop-up lane demonstration project – that the traffic had slowed down.
Now, there was an excessive amount of stopped cars on both the north and south sides of East Washington, specifically between Mercer and Towanda. As I was driving through, and again, it was 9 o'clock this morning. I was on my way to Smoothie King, free plug, and on your way back. And as I took the long way around, there were people that were doing landscaping. I think there were utility vehicles from the city that were picking up some branches. There were cars that were parked on the roadway. Would all parking up and down any way of Washington that has a bike lane be eliminated? Because in mm-hmm. other areas, in front of the Castle Theater, downtown Bloomington, in front of the museum, or in front of bars and restaurants that are there, as we continue this stretch all the way back to Lee Street, it seems like some people are going to lose some spots.
Yeah, and those are two separate areas. So on the portion of East Washington that we're sort of focused on, I think because of the pop-up lanes,
correct.
No changes will be made to parking.
Okay.
No changes whatsoever. Right now there is parking on the north side of the street. The one thing we will do there is actually draw a line so you can see where that parking lane is. Because right now, because of the width of the street, I think mm-hmm. there is some confusion as to where everyone should be. There's no parking on the south side, so no parking will be lost.
And everybody broke that rule this morning then.
Yeah, and I think unfortunately, and I have seen times like what you're describing where mm-hmm. just through coincidence there are a lot of vehicles, but over time and looking at your general experience or your average experience on this roadway, one reason it is so attractive is because there is very little parking. While there is parking on the north side, it is rarely used, especially during the week.
Mm-hmm.
It is more frequently used on the weekends when individuals may be having parties or guests over. It's used extensively when the neighborhood is having garage sales, but it is used less frequently. So it is more appealing than, for example, compared to a street like East Grove, where there is a lot of on-street parking
mm-hmm.
and where that creates the opportunity for negative interactions between cyclists and people who have parked, for example, opening their doors.
Door. Mm-hmm.
Or some cyclists not knowing better will weave in and out of the cars, causing a very dangerous situation. Or to eliminate those risks, we would have to eliminate parking, which would not be good in that area because it's a residential area that highly depends on the parking.
Okay, now, real quick, I just have to do a time check.
Of course.
It's 11:21 at WJBC, and this is Amelia Bragas, Ward 4, Alderman. You're okay with Alderman, not Alderwoman, yes?
Yes, that's fine.
I'm just good checking. from City of Bloomington, and we're talking about the proposed bike lanes, there have been some people that are trying to compassionately oppose the idea of bike lanes on Washington that live on Washington. And one of the suggestions of danger that has come up is for any residents that are going to be pulling out of their driveway, possibly backing up, although it looked like most of the driveways you could pull forward, and I would be terrified to back up into 45-mile-an-hour traffic on that roadway, so it'd be good to slow it down, were nervous that they would accidentally run into bicyclists. What is your response there about trying to prevent the danger?
And I agree that that is a concern. That is definitely an area where there's a possibility for negative interaction. But again, cyclists are using this road. This is not changing that. And anyone who is driving out of their driveway now needs to look for pedestrians and they need to look for cyclists. The benefit of having a bike lane is you will now know where to expect to see them. So it will help focus you. You can look at the sidewalk, you can look at the bike lane, you can look at the traffic lane. Does that alleviate those concerns? Probably not. But
they
again,
were looking anyway.
Yeah. The reality is cyclists are using the street and everyone needs to be looking for them now.
Okay. Forgive me, we do have to take a short commercial break, but we have more questions, including what happens beyond the segment we're talking about, because the proposed bike master plan goes all the way back to Lee Street, and why doesn't it, at this point in time, cross Veterans Parkway and give us a corridor from the east side to the west side, per se, if Veterans Parkway becomes the new middle? I'll ask those questions of Amelia Burgess right after this on WJBC.
Search WJBC on Twitter.
1127, Amelia, you need to come and visit me more times than just the half hour that we were able to sneak you in today, because we're getting a lot of great information out about bike lanes. Amelia Burgess from Ward 4, Bloomington City Council. You have the meeting today. Are you attending the Planning Commission meeting?
Yes, I'll be there at least for a portion of it. I don't know how long I can stay, but I will be there for a while.
Okay.
I expect it to be a very robust conversation.
I know you're a busy lawyer and there's much lawyering to do, but the Planning Commission meeting that's happening at City Hall starting at 4 o'clock today is the next step in the process. It's the third of three meetings before there's going to be a recommendation made about these bike lanes, correct?
Yes. So meetings on this started well over a year ago. We began some informational meetings, some exploratory meetings with some of the residents in the different neighborhoods. More recently, we've been able to come up with a full proposal so that we can discuss it with residents and get some more feedback. And we've had a couple of open houses. They've been nicely attended. We've had a lot of people come and give us some great feedback. So today, the Planning Commission will be considering this, and they will be holding a public hearing. So if you want to speak out and let council know, make it part of the public record as to what your opinions are on this, today's your day. It won't be the only opportunity, but today is a good day. And if you aren't able to make it, you can send an email to city administration. They'll make it part of the public record so we know what you're thinking. And the Planning Commission, I'm not sure what they'll do today. They have options.
Right.
They could consider it more in the future, or they could issue a recommendation today.
Okay, to the city council to then vote, because the city council vote was delayed for more public input.
No, this has always been the plan.
Okay.
Yeah, we're on schedule. For right now, we're on schedule.
My apologies, so I was misinformed.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Okay. Now, here's the question. This is the first part of a city master plan, which you can certainly reference on the City of Bloomington website, as to where you're trying to make this giant square. So this isn't the only place we're trying to put bike lanes into Bloomington Normal. I'm enthused about having dedicated bike areas so we can become a more bike-friendly city. But at the same time, I don't want anybody to die on the bike lanes because of horrifying, schedules or things we didn't think of in advance. We keep talking about specifically the area you are most familiar with in Ward 4, but the proposed bike lane would go all the way back to Lee Street is the beginning of it, and then extend to St. Joseph Drive. And only a portion of that is proposed right now in restructure of the road surface that makes it a perfect time to put in the bike lanes. What happens in the other segment?
All right, the other segment, you will see more of the same, but it won't happen until we resurface those portions. So you'll see more of the same in areas where it is necessary. We'll add in road diets and dedicated bike lanes, not fully separated, but dedicated bike lanes. And you will see some of those areas go from four lanes to three, again, because of the benefits that can provide for a roadway with this particular volume of traffic.
Okay.
And I do want to make it clear, because you bring up a good point about safety. So nothing that we are doing contradicts any of the safety recommendations or best practices in the field. There are different policy decisions that can be made, but when it comes to the basics, we're following those rules, and we're looking to things like the National Association of Transportation Officials and their Urban Bikeway Design Guide, which is based on actual experience, scientifically collected data in other communities that have done this. We're not the first community. We're not reinventing or reimagining. There is nothing radical about this particular proposal. It is all well tested. Does that mean that that we can assure you that there could not be a bad outcome? Of course not, because we can't do that now, because we cannot control distracted driving. We cannot control some people who may, either by accident or by a lack of knowledge, engage in conduct that is not safe. But what we can do is to try to create a situation where those mistakes happen, it is less likely that someone is seriously injured or dies. And that's the goal.
It's your neighborhood, too. So I know you're trying to protect your neighbors, your friends, and the people that you represent in your ward. Last question. I'm sorry, Maria, that we're going to be running just a moment late for news here, but it's an important one. Separate from the bike lanes in the corridors that you have marked off, this would be the first of four segments that would eventually become a perfect square, or almost a perfect square. In the talks of city planning, has there been any question about future crossings of Veterans Parkway for both pedestrians and bikes? Because this bike lane specifically ends at OSF and State Farm, but if you worked across the street at Jimmy John's, is there any conversation of making that a safer crossway for bikes from the east side?
Without a doubt. Is there a plan right now? No. But without a doubt, that is a vital piece of our community's planning, because Veterans Parkway right now does not have safe accommodations for pedestrians or cyclists.
Correct.
And we know that in this community, there are roughly 10,000 people who don't have access to a vehicle. And some of those individuals work on the east side or along Veterans Parkway. We don't have exact numbers, but we know some of those people work there, and they may live on the west side or in our central city, and they need to get there. So if we do not give them a safe way to get to work, we are forcing them to engage in dangerous activities that will lead to human tragedy. So that is very, very important to keep in mind, that sometimes the perception is people out cycling are doing it for pleasure. They're casual cyclists. They're just out for a ride, and that happens, and that's great, and I think those people should be safe too.
But I don't believe anybody I see in December when it's snowing outside on a bicycle is doing it for fun.
Well, that's pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
And everyone has a different perception of fun.
You can tell when somebody's in it for fun because the outfit matches from head to toe versus somebody that has to use the bike because that's the only transportation they have.
Yeah. And when we have those individuals in the community, I want to make sure they have a safe way to get there and an efficient way, just like we would for people who drive a vehicle or ride the bus or walk.
Amelia Burgess, you're a great guest. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for openly calling me out on my ignorance yesterday, and I hope you'll come back and visit us again here at WJBC.
Thank you for having me.